If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 17th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best haircut in the business, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg? I really dig that dream sweater.
Thank you.
I know we've said it before. I'm pretty sure you've worn it before.
But... I really dig your haircut, and I've said that before. But you keep escalating it, right? Where you had the good haircut before, then you started growing the hair out. Now you got a good haircut, but left the hair growing out.
Yes. Yeah. No, like I said before, I'm trying for a new thing. And like I've liked the direction I've been going with curling my hair, but I knew it wouldn't come together until I got the fade. And so I finally got the fade, and I feel really good about it. Yeah. I feel really good about it. I think this is the future me. Bless 2.0.
Wow. If you move the mic out of the way, lean this head in. Let me see this up close and personal, all right? Oh,
God. Almost spilled my water bottle. Hold on.
Audio listeners, he's wearing a Los Santos shirt, a red bomber jacket, and he's got a hell of a haircut. Look at this thing. Look at this thing right here. Yeah, okay. I like that. I like what you're doing. Now, you said you went to a new barber. Was there a fear? Was there a concern?
Oh, yeah.
What was going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I have a barber named Paul who is amazing at his job. He charges a lot of money, but he's incredible at what he does, so I've kept going to him. The last week and a half, I've been trying to get in contact with Paul, and he's not been answering.
You've been trying to hail Paul. Paul is the guy we used to work above, right?
Yeah, Paul is the dude that
Interesting hours and just didn't seem to answer his phone all that often.
Yeah, so I've been calling him for a week straight, and I feel like I've been that stalker ex where I called him multiple times in one day. I called him every single day through the week because he's the only barber that I knew, right? Like he's the only dude that I knew and I trusted with my hair. So I kept calling him up, and he wouldn't answer his phone. I sent him an email, didn't answer. I even drove by his shop.
Oh my God, bless!
To see if he'd be
did
there.
You do like the slow crawl, shades on, looking over.
I drove by and it looked like his place might have been open, but I couldn't tell just by driving by. And so I parked my car and tried to walk up, and the place was closed. And so I was like, all right, I can't get in contact with this guy. I've done everything. I left voicemails. He's not gone back to me. And so either he's ghosting me specifically because he's I'm tired of cutting this kid's hair because he won't shampoo enough, or he's in trouble.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not that. He was well known to disappear. I've seen many people standing out there.
He was well known to disappear.
Legitimately, I've seen at least three people standing there that have been like, hey, is he here? And I was like, I don't know. I just work up top.
He was also the guy. I had an appointment once with him, and he called, and he left me a voicemail that wasn't a, hey, I'd like to move your appointment. It was, hey, I'm moving your appointment to this time. And I was like, all right. I called him back. It doesn't work. I got to get a different one, but I hear you.
Now, I finally, after doing a lot of research, I found a barber that I was like, okay, they seem like they're good. They have good reviews. They seem to be, they seem to do good with fades. I'm gonna hit up this barber. And I went there, obviously he did a good job, but mid haircut, he was asking me questions. He was like, so is this your first time here? Do you have another barber? And I was like, oh yeah, I used to go to Paul. This dude, Paul, who has a shop all the way over here. And he was like, oh yeah, I know Paul. Actually wanted to work out of his shop, but he was never available. I couldn't get in contact with the guy. Yep. Never called me back. And I was like, huh, Paul is just that dude that you just can't get in. He's a ghost, basically. The ghost of barbers.
The ghost of barbers.
They call him.
They did call
him. They call me Leftover Poppy.
They call you Leftover Poppy. They call him Ghost of Barbers, and they call this Kind of Funny Games Daily. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that God of War is ending the Norse saga. We're going to talk about the review roundup for Lost Judgment, and we're going to talk about Mega Man's dog Rush being in Monster Hunter, along with a whole bunch more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in with your questions, your comments, your concerns, everything under the daily video game sun to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. And, of course, you can get a bevy of benefits for the other shows, the XCast, PS I Love You, XOXO, the GamesCast, and so much more, all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch us record the show show with ads and all the other jazz and no post show over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday.
Now, Greg, somebody in chat mentions how cool is Paul, and Paul is really cool. Paul might be the coolest barber I've ever had.
Like, here's what I like about Paul is, like, when I got there for my haircuts, when I'd go there, he'd immediately give me the beer. You know what I mean? And he would be, and I remember the first time he ever did it, because again, we worked underneath Paul for a long time. The first time he ever did, he's like, "What beer do you want?" I'm like, "What do you got?" And I was like, "Oh, I'll take a Lagunitas." And he's like, "Oh, of course. I see you guys walking with crates of Lagunitas all the time." And this is back when Cool Greg would have to bring over the crates for streaming or whatever. I was like, "Thank you very much." And then just for our alcoholism, we just drank a lot of beer.
For content.
I miss the studio because I miss about 4:15 walking through to go to the bathroom on a show, and Barrett's just drinking a beer at his desk, and I'm like, "Ah, this is the office culture we've established. It's fine."
God, I miss casually drunk Barrett.
It's helping.
But then it was also that, like, one of the times that I went over there, Paul doesn't do beards, and like people would walk in all the time. I was there for most of this, of like, "Hey, yeah, do you do beard trims too?" He's like, "No, I don't do beards. I just do hair." He's like, "All right, cool." And they leave. And there was one time where I leaned back and he was finishing my head, and he's like, "You know what, dude? I just got to touch up your beard. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to insult you. I just got to level this all out. It's all screwed up." And I was like, "Thank you very much, Paul." And he's awesome, but hard to nail down. Yeah, you know, the ghost of the barbers.
He's mysterious. Like, he's the ghost of barbers. You know, when he's there, he's amazing, and I love him. But he's just not there enough.
We're here every day, though, every weekday. Housekeeping for you. I saw somebody in the chat ask. Of course, we're streaming a normal stuff today. After this, we're playing Emily's Away on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But more importantly, at noon, THQ is doing one of their showcases, showcasing a bunch of different games. We will be live reacting to that on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If any
predictions?
No, not really. That's what I was going to say. If anything substantial happens, I have no idea what's going to happen to this thing. It'll go up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, like all of our other VODs. Do you have predictions? Oh, you're Googling THQ right now. You're Googling to see what
is so THQ. I can identify that. Yeah, I was Googling THQ to see like what comes up first, to see if there's anybody who's already talking about shit. Because what immediately comes to mind for me is Saints Row. They got to like drum up hype for that, because they had the reveal at the, not the Game Awards, the other Jeff Keighley thing, Opening Night Live. And they have between now and February to like really drum up hype, and it's a new Saints Row. So that's got to appear, right? We got to see
we're going to go, ladies and gentlemen, to VG247.com, where Sheriff said, says THQ Nordic teases six new game reveals at tomorrow's showcase. THQ Nordic is hyping up its next showcase event, scheduled for tomorrow, September 17th. That's today. The publisher is promising six new game announcements, split among classic revivals, sequels, and brand new IPs. Hosted by Jeff Keighley, the show kicks off at noon Pacific. Alongside the promised reveals, THQ Nordic will also offer a first look at its recently announced LX2, an update to Expeditions Rome. We'll be able to follow along on Twitch and YouTube. But that's not all. THQ Nordic is also hosting a 10th anniversary Steam sale running September 16th through the 23rd with discounts on Desperados 3, Biomutant, Destroy All Humans, Kingdoms of Amalur, Re-Reckoning, and more. Over the same time period, you'll be able to claim two free games and keep them forever. Titan Quest Anniversary Edition, a remaster of the classic action RPG, and Jagged Alliance Gold Edition, a strategy RPG. During the sale, Desperados 3 will be available free to play on Steam. So what you'd expect, right?
Destroy All Humans, I believe, had a leak.
Time Splitters is getting a shout out from Rodriguez film in there.
Time Splitters for sure. I think, I don't know if it's a shoe-in, but I think there's a high chance that we see that today. Destroy All Humans 2 remake or remaster. I think they had a funny name for it. I forget exactly what the thing is, but that's going to be there. I don't know. I mean, Saints Row, I feel like has to be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting, and I don't know going. Ladies and gentlemen, who has entered the live stream chat here is none other than the Boss Baby Barrett Courtney, and he is a big THQ fan, so I'm wondering if he's here to talk about drinking beer at 4 o'clock in the old office, or to talk about THQ games.
Both, Greggy, both.
I'm drinking beer right now.
No, I was just in the chat saying I used to drink like almost every day.
And now I got an Angry Orchard in the I have half an Angry Orchard in the fridge.
I'm playing Emily's Away after this. I was already drinking, so it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, now I drink like maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Have you lost a lot of weight?
No. I think I've made up for it with like a lot of stress eating. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like not going out as much. I want to say for predictions of this, right? I think if Time Splitter shows up, I think that's like the last thing or the one more thing, whatever you want, whatever THQ does for the stream, because we don't really have like a precedent for it, right?
You think that, I would say if you're for that, like, what I like is opening with Saints Row, closing with Time Splitters.
Now, you say you don't have a precedent. This is one of the things that I've allowed myself not to get too hyped about for this stream.
Are you going
to
bring up the fucking E3 presser?
Yes, the E3 presser that was also THQ, that was for Embracer, I forget the exact, right? Yeah, the Embracer, I forget what they had, like a specific new group that they started, the one that frustrated the hell out of us when we were live reacting to it, because if you remember, that one was also collabed with Jeff Keighley. Like Jeff Keighley hosted segments of it, and it was all developer interviews. They were all Coke Prime Time. We sat through that, and it was maybe the most terrible presser that we've ever sat through.
Wait, how is that? Wait, Coke is related to THQ Nordic? I'm confused.
Aren't they all part of the Embracer group?
Yeah, they're all part of that same Embracer group.
Okay.
So I kind of put them in the same basket of like they're also having Jeff Keighley do this one as well, which is making it sound.
I wouldn't compare Coke to whatever the hell THQ Nordic is doing. Yeah, I would say Time Splitters, maybe if it shows up, the last thing on the ticket. I would say yeah, since it's already been announced, Saints Row probably like opening the show. Blessing.
Well, here's where we get into. So I'm sorry. Full stop. So this is where. And I love you guys, and I'm talking to the audience right now. I obviously love Barrett and Blessing, and you know, Kevin's my friend and my boy. Kevin's always there for me. I love you, Kevin. What I'm saying is we're admitting the fact that I find the Embracer Group, Coke Media, and THQ Nordic incredibly fucking confusing. And yes. I realize you're listening to a podcast from a guy who is nearly 15 years in the games industry now. It has just been a shit show over there. I think we'll all admit, with them buying a million different things. So what I'm now scratching my head and Googling around is what umbrella is Saints Row under? Because this is clear.
Oh,
this
is a good question.
This
that's
is
a really
THQ Nordic. THQ Nordic is here. Coke Media is here. And then above them is the Embracer Group, which of course also used to be THQ Nordic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now when you THQ Nordic AB. Now we're talking about THQ Nordic, the silo, and Coke Media, the silo.
So now my brain does the exact same thing. Is like when we say THQ Nordic, I do think of the Embracer Group because they used to be called THQ Nordic. And so I immediately, when you say THQ, I immediately lump Saints Row in that. But you're right that THQ Nordic might not actually be Saints Row. That might be just like Time Splitters.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So the publisher is Deep Silver. That's where we're at. So now Deep Silver is a division of Coke Media.
Coke Media.
Yeah.
Fuck me running. So it's... God fucking damn it. It's Embracer Group, which used to be THQ Nordic AB. Then there is THQ Nordic. Then there is Coke Media. Underneath Coke Media is Deep Silver. That's how we're fucking doing it. God.
Okay, so...
Well, I need a whiteboard.
So what do they have?
Is it just Time Splitters? So
Time Splitters,
I think we get a logo treatment, if anything. You know, maybe some Biomutant DLC for all of those weird Biomutant fans.
I was
going to
say the same thing. Yeah, Biomutant DLC.
We know the Destroy All Humans 2 remake is coming, so that'll be exciting. I think we got to get more stuff out of this Nickelodeon fucking partnership that they've had for years, and all we've seen is Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated.
I'm going to say
so
the
I would
words.
Say another remake, maybe another SpongeBob game, maybe like a Nicktoons remake of one of the games where they all come together or something like that.
Hear me out. All right, I'm gonna say these words. I throw these words out every now and then just because I like referencing deep cuts.
Okay.
Tack and the Power of Juju.
No.
Do we see a Tack revival?
No.
Tack Trilogy remastered.
No, I don't
SpongeBob.
Think. I don't think it has the. Tack doesn't have
Bring
the fucking
Tack.
Same level of SpongeBob SquarePants, dude. Like, they're going to hit on the actual Nickelodeon nostalgia. We might get, like, a Fairly Odd Parents specific game.
I don't know, man. I think you're underrating Tack and the Power of Juju.
Not that Tack and the Power of Juju
is the powerhouse of the IP of SpongeBob.
All right, dude. They're
going
to play off.
People like those games. Do you think Destroy All Humans has more cachet than Tack and the Power of Juju?
100%.
No way.
1,000%. Blessing.
Absolutely not. Tack and the Power of Juju has way
more
cachet than
someone put in the chat.
At least the same amount.
In a poll. Tack
and the Power of Juju had a Nickelodeon show. And it was originally a video game. I feel like if you're bringing back Destroy All Humans and you're going into like the backpack of, okay, what random ass IP are people going to have nostalgia for? And that, like, what can we easily remaster in the same way that we remastered SpongeBob? Attack of the Power of Juju is in that lineup. The TAC franchise.
Not compared to the rest of the Nickelodeon lineup, dude. Like, they're gonna go in other directions before they finally get to TAC. All right.
What other directions do they have left?
There's so many Nickelodeon games, Blessing, that they could remaster and remake. I'm specifically under the Battle for Bikini. I'm sure there's a handful of them that are, like, are decent enough that, like, you'd get the same treatment for Battle for Bikini Bottom.
I want to know what Greg is researching right now.
I'm trying to make the family tree. it's like, all right, so I got, obviously, you know, once you get into Embracer Group here, right, aka formerly THQ Nordic, hold on, AB, then you got THQ Nordic and you've got Koch Media. And then underneath Koch Media, you have Deep Silver. And then I got Saints Row there, right? So we already know nothing's happening over there. But then it does get that thing of like, all right, so wait, under THQ Nordic, what's happening? But then when you go to THQ Nordic, Wikipedia's and Google's, you get a lot of THQ Nordic AB, aka the Embracer Group. So you have to drill into it a bit more. But I think I'm there. I think I've got it. And let me tell you, none of these games I would be excited for. Comanche, LX2, Gothic, The Guild 3.
This is what I'm saying. And listen, I'm reading chat right now. And there's a lot of bad takes in chat. I'm going to be honest with you, chat. Chat, usually I love you guys, but you guys are dead wrong right now. When we're talking about games to bring back from the PS2 era that are like that are using that Nickelodeon license, none of those games are good. Like SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom is in like a special like echelon of, oh shit, this made it out the hood. This game is actually decent compared to the rest of these Nickelodeon games. Destroy All Humans is another one that is like
Blessing. I want to update with you with this poll that I accidentally misspelled. It's supposed to say which has more staying power and not which is more staying power. But the chat gets it. You are being currently destroyed with 78% of the vote going to Destroy All Humans.
That still doesn't disprove my argument that in the war chest, the quote-unquote war chest of IPs that THQ has that are aligned with Nickelodeon, Attacking the Power of Juju is next up. What other thing are they going to go to? Like in that war chest.
Blessing, I'm going to walk away for a couple minutes and then I'm going to Slack Greg a list of games that they could
going
for
the
attack. None of those games will be as
you're talking about Nickelodeon games specifically, right?
Yeah, Nickelodeon games specifically.
So yeah, going a little bit further back, right, of things that have already come out but they own or whatever. Destroy All Humans, Darksiders, Kingdoms of Amalur, like we talked about, Biomutant, SpongeBob, those Nickelodeon things out there. Here's the thing. Like, I'll sit there for the hour this is probably going to be, and I swear to God, I swear to Jesus Christ and all the angels, THQ Nordic, if it's an hour and a half of fucking all these goddamn games, swear to God. But if it's an hour long, and at some point I get something new about a new Kingdoms of Amalur, I'll forgive it. It's no big deal.
That's fair enough.
So at noon, come watch that.
It's going to be bad. It's not going to be great.
I don't know
if that expectation right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, and again, a lot of people in chat are saying that I'm wrong about Attack of the Power of Juju, and are also asking what is Attack of the Power of Juju, which is a fair question. Nobody's given me an alternate solution to like what else they're gonna bring back aside from TAC. Everybody's just saying it's not TAC. Nobody's given me an other option, which is telling me that you guys know you're wrong. You have no idea what other option they're gonna bring back but TAC. Remember, this is THQ, not known for greatness. And I'm also not saying that TAC is great. And I'm also not saying that TAC is what I want. I'm just saying TAC is what is up next in the Nickelodeon franchises.
Honestly, it's probably just going to be another SpongeBob game, if I'm going to be honest with you there.
I mean, you know what? We can get let's get serious about it, everybody. All right, it's Friday. Everybody knows when you get a Friday Games Daily with your friend Greg and Bless. It gets wild out here. We have fun, all right? At this point, Tim's too tired to care and cancel shows.
We're still in housekeeping somehow.
Yeah. Do you care? Chat, are you having fun? I'm looking over at the chat. Tony Blue says no game is better than TAC. But no, Tony Blue, I want to know, are you having fun right now? All right? Invisible Man 44 says kinda. All right, I'll take it. So they say, I'm on GameSpot's thing right now, where they're trying to make sense of this, right? There will be 6 new game announcements. One of those is presumably Destroy All Humans.
Yes.
Witness the return of legendary franchises where the fans are waiting for decades to get their hands on a new installment, sequels to beloved games, and new original IPs. We hope you are ready, kids, the publisher said. In addition to the 6 reveals, THQ Nordic will announce new information about RPG, LX2, and the Expeditions Rome. So then I want to go here, Blessing. Mm-hmm. Barrett. Mm. Barrett, crack a beer. Six things here. What's happening?
I can go grab my Angry Orchard.
Don't challenge me.
What's on my schedule? Hold on. Let me look at my calendar. I got nothing important going on after this. I do have to record some Blessing Show stuff. And so I might be, the next episode of the Blessing Show might be interesting. But aside from that, I'm good.
All right. Kevin, hold the thing while everybody gets beer.
I'm not getting a beer. What's up, Kev? I think Kevin's away too. This is really scary. What's up, Chad? I'm looking at other Nicktoons. What's up?
If I may.
What was that? Why are you laughing?
Oh, you didn't hear the beer? I cracked a beer.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Kevin. Were there any Nicktoons games that you fucked around with, Kevin, back in the day?
No, I played good games. Ugh, I have a text from Tim says, can you call me when you have one second?
Blessing, I'm going to go Nicktoons Unite, which was a fun party game back in the day that they could do before Tag and the Power of GG. The Legend of Korra game was really fun.
Was it really fun?
Cheers, Bless.
Cheers.
I don't know if it was really fun. It was fun enough and definitely, I think, would come before Tack and the Power of Juju. I'm just naming off games that would come before Tack and the Power of Juju.
Keep naming, because
right?
Like people in chat were saying like Fairly Odd Parents, the video game. And I'm like, nobody's going to play a Fairly Odd Parents video game as a remake from a PS2 game.
You'd sounds terrible. Blessing. Be surprised. So you say that, but then the second they announce the Danny Phantom game, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Bless?
Is it a remaster of a bad PS2 game? Because I'm ignoring it. God. If it's a new Danny Phantom game, I'll check it out. But like,
why are they automatically all bad, Blessing?
Because they're PS2 Barrett, you're not going to sit here and act like those PS2 like licensed Nickelodeon games were good.
Sounds
except
like you're
for SpongeBob.
To.
SpongeBob and Tack were like the two, and Tack was for like first video game, so that barely counts.
Are we all sure right, about that?
So we have six slots.
The timeline there is a little hazy on Tack and the Power of Juju.
Tack and Power of Juju was a video game first. It was a video game franchise, and then way later on became a television show.
We have six slots. Six slots. The beer's kicking in already. witness the return of legendary franchises where the fans have been waiting decades to get their hands on a new installment. Sequels to beloved games and original IPs. New original IPs. Destroy All Humans 2. Let's do it. It's in there. That's happening, yes. Right? It was leaked. It's a remake. It's leaked. You figure then
the
legendary franchise fans have been waiting decades for has to be Time Splitters, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay. So that's two right there. We got two already. Now in the chat, Sir Harout says Simpsons Hit and Run remake.
I don't think they have that license, though.
Who's to stop him? John Drake's making deals out there. Am I wrong?
Are they going to THQ Nordic for deals?
I don't know.
Like Nickelodeon was desperate. They were like, we need to get back into video games somehow. Anybody, please, anybody take us. And THQ Nordic was like, sure, okay.
I like this.
I'm going to say they have Simpsons, two new...
Simpsons Hit and Run would be... It'd be a hit. God.
And can we get Cool Greg on this reacts just in case it happens?
People are arguing that maybe that EA has rights. I don't know. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong me on that one. I don't know
who has the Simpsons rights.
Game rights are right now. Okay.
Dolphin Corn and Chat says it's Tack offensive, which is a thing I've not ever thought about. And now I think about it, maybe.
Probably.
What does Tack even mean?
Tack and the Power of Juju. You don't remember this game?
I've never heard of this game.
Really?
I apologize.
It was a mistake, Greg.
Being a kid and I mean, like, seeing the commercials. Know,
different strokes for different folks, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Destroy All Humans, Time Splitters, two new IPs. I got two slots open. Where else are you going to put them?
So I saw some people in chat saying Red Faction, which that is Volition. Volition is working on Saints Row. I don't think you give Red Faction to anybody else.
Also, Volition is also under...
Yeah, I was going to say then that would be under the Deep Silver brand.
You're right. Yeah.
That wouldn't count. More Darksiders, you think?
Wait, so you said two new IPs?
Genesis 2? I said that. Yeah, that's just what I... it's new original IPs, they say, which at that point I think is two. Sequel to beloved games. And then, new legendary things. Wait, you get your hands on. I think doing something else...
What's the difference between... What was the deal with Genesis?
It was a great system from Sega. Okay. It came out. It's been out a long time. I went to, I played that at an in-person E3 Judges Week before when it came to PC, and then it came to consoles later. So there'd be enough there to give another one, or maybe DLC for it or something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But is there a reason why they would do Genesis over just Darksiders 4? Because didn't Darksiders 3 come out a few years ago as well?
Yeah, it did. But I think the argument there would be like, stop trying to make Darksiders happen. We've given you three Darksiders that are the kind you all say you want. They don't sell. So now we tried this Genesis thing. People didn't care about that either. But we're THQ and Nordic, and we just keep fucking making games. Nobody's buying them. Nobody knows who's playing these games.
Mm.
If you showed up today, we're like, hey, Greg, Expeditions of Rome. I'd be like, nah, that's you made that up. Not a real thing, but it came out in 2021.
Genesis was a top-down game.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. It was like you could play it alone.
Something Darksiders makes sense.
Okay, we'll put it on there.
Yeah. Okay. I love how this is going to happen in about an hour. And so by the time so many people are going to listen to this episode,
person in your car, happened. Are you having fun? Has this been a fun Friday episode?
And be honest with yourself. Have you watched this event yet? No, you haven't. So, like,
also, you want to see this? This is all the build up to us being extremely disappointed for an hour.
I was asked to be better at time codes today, and then you guys throw this thing in, which is not a story. What is this? This is part of housekeeping.
I'll put it. THQ, Nordic.
So now you want me to change it.
Discussion.
It's a very off chance that they now stack in the power of Juju, and somebody's listening to this after the fact. I'm going to look like a genius, just so everybody knows. I'm going to look like a god. When they don't announce it, though, of course I'm going to look foolish, but it's a chance I'm willing to take. I'm willing to flip this coin.
Ladies and gentlemen, your final roster of the six announcements you will be getting today at THQ Nordic's Showcase 10th Anniversary is number one, Destroy All Humans 2 Remastered. Number two, Time Splitters. Number three and four are new IPs we couldn't guess. Number five will be Darksiders something, and number six is Tack and the Power of Juju.
One more replacing Tack with the Power of Juju, because it won't be that. It'll be one of these three licenses, Greg. It'll either be another SpongeBob game remake, it'll either be a Rocket Power game, or an Avatar The Last Airbender game.
Motherfucker, and you're wrong. Connor writes in and says, per THQ Nordic on Twitter, responding to Emmett Watkins Jr., kind of funny friend of the show, about this very topic, no Saints Row or Time Splitters. Those are Deep Silver IPs. As for the rest, no comment. What does it fucking mean?
What's the IP we've been waiting decades for, Greg?
Ladies and gentlemen, remember patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad-free, to get your names read on the show, just like our Patreon producers, the Kind of Funny, Destiny 2, PC Clan, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash and Canva, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Four items on the Roper Report.
Baker doesn't. Also, 27 minutes in. 27 minutes in.
I mean, it's not like we have any big news like about a God of War or anything.
Number one, God of War Ragnarok is the end. Kinda. We're going to go to Jared Moore over at IGN.com. Blessing, you and Tam tackled their reader mail question about this topic yesterday, but it didn't make the Roper Report, and I thought we should actually read through the story and talk a little bit about it from there. Are you okay with that?
I am very okay with that.
All right, we'll have it. Cheers to you then, sir.
Oh, cheers. What's my...
Cheers. Friday beers, 10:30 in the 10:29 in the morning. Sony Santa Monica Studios Corey Barlog, director of 2018's God of War, has opened up on why there will only be two games in the series' North Mythology saga, stating that he wanted to avoid delaying the story's conclusion to a decade after it started. In an interview with Captain Kuba on YouTube, Barlog spoke about why he decided that the story of Kratos and Atreus would be told over just two games rather than a trilogy or anything longer. Quote, I think one of the most important reasons is the first game took 5 years. The second game, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm just going to throw out that it's going to take close to a similar time, said Barlog. Quote, then, if you think a third one in that same time frame, we're talking about a span of close to 15 years of a single story, and I feel like that's just too stretched out. I feel like we're asking too much to say the actual completion of the story taking that long. It just feels too long. Given where the team was at and where Eric was at with what he wanted to do, I was like, look, I think we can actually do this in the second story, because most of what we were trying to do from the beginning was to tell something about Kratos and Atreus, and that the core of their story's engine is really the relationship between these two characters, end quote. With one storyline being told throughout two games, Barlog likens this idea to fans being able to play through the series to his own experience of purchasing the Lord of the Rings box set for the first time. I was able to say, wow, I can sit down and have 13 and a half hours of this experience, playing them one after another back to back. And I just thought that was fantastic and amazing. So to be able to say, hey, man, you could probably start God of War 2018 and then play God of War Ragnarok and feel like you're getting the entirety of the story. I kind of want that to happen before my kids in college. Blessing. Mm-hmm. For people who didn't make it to reader mail yesterday, what is your take on this story?
Yeah, so in the reader mail, the question was more so directed toward, how do you feel about this? Like, do you mind a two iteration God of War Norse mythology duology? And for me, I'm totally down with that, because I think the idea of God of War Ragnarok wrapping up this instance of God of War, I guess, like this part of the God of War story, being able to move on from there into a new mythology or a new new branch of the story, I think is really awesome. Because, like, I mean, Corey Barlog makes the point well in this article that video games take a long time to make. Mm. And say each of these God of War games take 5 years to make between games. That's what, a 15-year trilogy? And like for video games that historically take long to make, I don't think I think this is a good move in terms of being able to wrap up something and tell a story that feels more condensed and feels like it doesn't have to belabor a mythology or belabor a certain story thread way too long.
I hate that when something hits or is launched, people immediately jump to it being a trilogy. That it needs to be this, it needs to do this. I think it would be so much more fascinating if we looked at things like God of War 2016 or 2018, like Last of Us, how we looked at the original Last of Us, that, all right, great, this was an awesome story and it's done. There could be more. Obviously, these characters live on, but it doesn't have to end on a cliffhanger. It doesn't have to end on, I can't wait to find out what happens or where these people are going. It doesn't have to end with anything. God of War 2018, right? My new, in quotes, favorite game of all time, my most recent favorite game of all time, right? That is a complete story of Kratos and Atreus and everything they go on their journey to reach that mountaintop, right? And yes, at the end, I mean, spoiler alert, even though obviously the whole next game is based on it, right? At the end, you can go back, you can take a nap as Kratos and have this vision, right, of Thor showing up to say, oh man, what a cool thing that could be. I never finished that game and immediately interpreted it as, I need all of this. I need 16 more of these. It could have ended there and I would have been satiated. I would have been like, what a cool tease for something. I hate it the other way, where we get it so many times, where games go and they end on, we climb up the mountaintop and then there's that thing in the distance and boom, credits. You're like, oh my God, what the fuck, dude? I feel like, you know what I mean? In that instance, I would much rather be in Corey's position with Lord of the Rings. All right, okay, cool. That's fine when it's Life is Strange, True Colors, episodic even, but not episodic, where it ends on a cliffhanger and I'm like, great, I can either do that tomorrow or I can go and jump in right now and see what's happening with these characters. Like, yeah. I don't need that idea. And I know it's been pointed out so many times by people smarter than me on Twitter since this story broke, right, of what a modern 2021 video game is, right, and how long it takes to make them. You know, you called that out, but like, I put in the release timeline for the mainline God of War from Wikipedia, right? You got 2005 God of War, 2 years later 2007 God of War 2, 3 years later 2010 God of War 3, 3 years later God of War Ascension, right? Then this huge break to 2018 to get you God of War, and then yeah, 2022 God of War Ragnarok. And keep in mind, that's tentative. We will see if it's 2022 for God of War Ragnarok or if it gets pushed or slides, you know, COVID, and then also trying to make a game and destroy something, right? But Corey's plan here, you know, again, trying not to get penciled into this 5-year thing, right? But saying it's going to take a similar time. Clearly, 4 years is a similar time, but could also be longer, could also be that. And I'd rather see studios be inspired to create stuff and not feel like they have to. You know what I mean? How many times have we seen this too, blessing of, you know, and I'm not using Corey as an example here and what's happening at Sony Santa Monica, but for other games where we're going to do a trilogy, we're going to do this thing, and then midway through development of the second game, the studio head leaves, the creative narrative guy leads. It's by the time you get there, you have a new team working on something that wasn't the original vision of what they were trying to make, and I hate that.
Yeah, I think it's very nice to have a finish line. And for me, that makes me even more excited for God of War Ragnarok, understanding that, oh, shit, this is going to be the finish line for what was started in the previous game. Like, you know, I'm with you that there are plenty of different ways where you can for how you can tell stories, right? Whether that is a trilogy, because I know so many people, like Mass Effect, I think, is a great example of how many people I know who call that their favorite video game trilogy or trilogy period, right? Like storytelling trilogy of all time. For me, I look at, I know this isn't exactly one for one because all these games are kind of standalone, but for me, it's Eco. You know, I look at Eco, Shadow Colossus, Last Guardian as a trilogy of games that I love so dearly. And even that was really tortured, right? Like Eco and Shadow Colossus both came out on PS2, and then generations later we got The Last Guardian, and The Last Guardian came out to mixed reviews because it was this thing that was building off of this other thing, and because of the way that, again, video game development being hard and the amount of time it takes to make a video game, right? Like by the time you're playing that game on PS4, it still plays like a PS2 game. I look at the God of War Ragnarok trailer and I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that looks like God of War 2018, and I'm fine with that, and I'm excited for that. But there's another part of me that looks at that and goes, well, am I going to like this as much as God of War 2018? Because it's building off of the same building blocks as that game and probably is going to be mechanically similar to that game. And God of War 2018 already did something so cool and so awesome in terms of like it being a one-shot, it being this very focused story about Kratos, Atreus, and Atreus' mom, right? Like, that felt so one and done in a way that makes me not nervous for God of War Ragnarok, because I'm sure they're going to find their own angle and I'm sure that game is going to be as polished and as good as God of War 2018. But I don't need two more games spawning off of God of War 2018. Give me Ragnarok, tie that thing up, let me experience the second half of that story and move on to something brand new. Because for God of War, the reason why we love God of War 2018 so much is because it's something brand new. They're not building off of the building blocks of God of War's 1 through Ascension. They're not like doing like they're freshening up the combat system. They're freshening up the perspective. They're freshening up the world and the tone and all these things. The idea that after Ragnarok, we're going to get possibly, you know, if they continue with God of War, we're going to get another God of War maybe 5 years down the line that is going to be brand new mythology or brand new characters, brand new story, maybe even a character that's not Kratos, right? Like all of those things for me speak to is exciting, because what God of War 2018 was is something fresh was exciting. So the more they can do that, the I think the better that franchise is going to be because of it.
Big question. Mm-hmm. Do you think, and I don't want to say in our lifetime because that's silly, but in the near future, do you think we'll see PlayStation Studios move off of establishing and continuing IPs? Because I think you make a great point where mm-hmm. Horizon Zero Dawn, right? Unlike anything we've seen from Guerrilla. Oh my God, it's awesome. It's cool. It's different. It's crazy, right? Which means there has to be Horizon 2. Mm-hmm. God of War. Oh my God. God of War is relevant again. You've made this game and changed the character of Kratos. And you, there's a teaser, obviously, at the end, too. Oh, my God, there has to be a God of War 2. There has to be God of War Ragnarok, right? However, especially, and I would say for both of them, honestly, probably, where both of those trailers drop for Horizon, I'm just going to call it 2, and God of War 2, right? And I look at them, and I go, man, can't wait to play those. But I look at them, and I'm not wowed. I don't have that moment. I don't have those chills I had of, like, when Kratos and, you know, boy, it's time to hunt from the first Game Awards reveal, right? Like, you don't get that because that moment's gone. And so I do wonder, and obviously there was a whole, and I'm not trying to get into, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, reusing animations or assets, which was a big brouhaha on the Twitter the other day of like, look, they're using the same getting the boat animation.
Oh, yeah,
like
getting the boat in the same way.
What are you talking about? Like, it's the same character. It's the same people. What? Yeah, you know, I probably put on my shoes the same way I did 3 years ago. What are you talking about? I'm not getting into that, but it is that thing of like, okay, cool. I know what this game is going to feel like. Theoretically. So it's going to be hard to wow me with it, right? Like, how are you going to push that further? Where, if it was that we did this, we delivered a modern masterpiece, period. God of War 2018, done. Now, Sony Santa Monica is doing whatever the hell else they're going to do. Like, I don't think we're there yet. I've talked about it a million times before of like, I thought it was so cool to see Last of Us succeed in that way because it was, I thought for the first time that, bam, Naughty Dog meant something. And I don't mean Naughty Dog, but actually Naughty Dog. I mean the name of the developer on the screen meant something, where you had more mainstream people being like, oh, I am a Naughty Dog fan, not, oh, I like PlayStation games, and not understanding that at the time, Insomniac's third party at the time. This game they're playing on their PlayStation didn't get published by PlayStation. Do you think we're closer to that reality where they move away from that, or do you think they'll keep doing this?
I think they're in a torn place because they have the PS4 generation set up so many good new IP. And I think part of the question you're asking right now, I think, is going to feed into why we look at the PS4 generation and why in the future we're going to look back at the PS4 generation and go, oh shit, this might have been like the prime for PlayStation in terms of them greenlighting new games and in terms of their output as PlayStation Studios. Because we got Horizon, we got God of War 2018, we got Spider-Man, right? I was going to say Last of Us, but like Last of Us kind of came in that transition.
That was the end of PS3,
into the PS4 generation. In terms of, you know, are they going to keep doing new and exciting stuff with PlayStation Studios in terms of the IP? Because I think the same question you're asking is, I think, a symptom of how I felt in the last year, coming off of playing Miles Morales, which I think is excellent, but wasn't it as exciting for me to play as Spider-Man 2018?
Now, here's something, and this is, I want you to continue with your line of thinking. There is a thing here from Sepsi? I was going to say S Pepsi, but that's actually spelled different. I want to call you S Pepsi 13 in the chat, who says, I want a million Spider-Man games. That's an interesting conversation for maybe an even different show of tangents, because I'm with you. Whereas I'm like, okay, yeah, more God of War, that's great. Like, they show Spider-Man and it looks exactly the same. I'm just excited for more Spider-Man. But back to you, Blessing, sorry.
But yeah, I mean, and that's the torn place that I think they're at, because I want more Spider-Man games too. But also, when I look back at the PlayStation Showcase that we got last week, I think the most exciting announcement was Wolverine for everybody. And they announced Spider-Man 2, and they showed gameplay for God of War Ragnarok. Yet the thing that I think most people took away as the most exciting thing was Insomniac working on Wolverine. And I think the reason why is because that is something brand new. That is something different. We all know that Spider-Man 2 exists. We all know that, like, we all know how that game is going to play like. And we're all going to show up to that game, play that game, and absolutely adore that game. Same with God of War Ragnarok.
This is such a great conversation. It's a shame we buried it after 30 minutes of not understanding THQ. What I love about this conversation and the differences, right, is that I wonder how much of it is source material as well, where Spider-Man to me is comic books, right? Which means, you know, for Spider-Man for a while, for sure, it was, you could get a Spider-Man book every week, right? But if you're obviously into Amazing Spider-Man, I'm getting a Spider-Man book once a month, right? I feel like that carries over to the games, where I want the games to feel great and have a cool story. And so that's all I need from them, right? Whereas again, God of War obviously felt great, obviously had a cool story, but also had all these emotional touchstones and weight to it and all this thing that really was different. The reasons I love God of War are similar to the reasons why I love Spider-Man, but God of War did everything on a more magnificent scale than what I love about Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But Spider-Man was a great Spider-Man game, and that's all I need out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And at some point, Sucker Punch is going to announce Ghost of Tsushima 2, and I think I'm probably going to be feeling all the same feelings of, oh, I love Ghost of Tsushima 1. You know, I love Ghost of Tsushima Legends. When they announce Ghost of Tsushima 2, there is going to be a hint of, oh, this is exciting, but it's not as exciting as when they announced Ghost of Tsushima 1, because Ghost of Tsushima 1 took us by surprise in terms of, oh, this is different for Sucker Punch. Oh, I don't know what this is going to be. Oh, I'm very curious on how this is going to play. I'm going to be asking less of those questions going into 2, but the fact of the matter is Spider-Man 2 is going to sell more than Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales. Ghost 2 is going to sell more than Ghost 1. God of War Ragnarok is going to sell more than God of War 2018. Like, all these games are going to be more successful than their previous iterations, because that's just the nature of sequels.
And that's why they keep making them, right? With that being the case,
I would say, PlayStation is going to keep on making sequels and follow-ups to previous things. I think the way that you keep that interesting and you keep that exciting is by, giving people the sequels they want, but also have those Insomniac moments where Insomniac gets to announce Wolverine. I really hope that the next Naughty Dog game is a new IP after Factions, or like coinciding with Factions or whatever, because I want Factions so badly. But I really hope Naughty Dog's next game is not Uncharted or Last of Us, right? I want them to do something new and then eventually get back to Last of Us, of course, because I love Last of Us and I want more of that. But, you know, let them do something new. I hope Sucker Punch has some other idea other than Ghosts in their pocket that they want to put out in the long term, right? Like, maybe something comes out after Ghosts 2 or before Ghosts 2. I even hope that Guerrilla Games has something along those lines too. I think that's way you do it, and you allow them to kind of cycle those things in, because, you know, we just got Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I'm satiated when it comes to Ratchet. I don't need another Ratchet game for the next 5 years probably. And I know for some people, they're
down in the chat to Kebabs losing his mind. And
yeah,
three,
people in chat are gonna be
two,
like, "No, I want a new Ratchet game sooner than that." But like, Insomniac's giving us Wolverine and Spider-Man. I can wait for the next Ratchet, right? After I get the next Ghost, take a break from Ghost, do something else, come back to Ghost later. You know, I think I'm fine with that, and I think that's gonna do well for PlayStation if they're able to keep that cadence and allow their studios to feel or be expressive in that way by making their own thing.
And Kebabs delivered. It's gonna be fascinating, yeah, and I can't wait to see what God of War turns into and when it comes out and all that stuff, but we will have to wait and see. For now, no more waiting. Let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go to write in to be part of the show with your questions and your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, where you can get the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday, and of course where you can get the show ad free but guess what, Jack, you're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by HBO Max. If you're here, you probably love video games, but sometimes we have to face the cold, hard truth. We can't game all the time. Sometimes we gotta kick back and watch some movies and some TV too. So it's a good thing HBO Max is here to save the day with all of your favorite DC content. HBO Max has an expansive superhero collection to feed your fandom. Greg Miller is stoked, of course. They've got Wonder Woman, they got Justice League, Stargirl, Batwoman, HBO Shazam, Suicide Squad, the list goes on, of course. Plus, the streaming platform lets you download your favorite titles and take them with you on the go. All the bingeable collections handpicked by humans, not robots. Personally, I've been enjoying a whole bunch of different things over on HBO. I love all the day and date releases. We know we got The Matrix now coming out in December. That's really exciting to look forward to. We got Malignant. I'm about to watch that this weekend. Check out some of the best superhero content and so much more only on HBO Max. Get streaming today by going to hbom.ax/kindoffunnydc. That's hbom.ax/kindoffunnydc. Next up, shout out to Rooster Teeth's Last Laugh Season 2. I was a huge fan of Season 1, mainly because my boy Alfredo was in it, but Season 2, can't wait for it. Here's the whole pitch for it. Do not laugh. It's part game show, part social experiment, 100% evil laugh challenge, spectacular. Last Laugh returns for a second season with 12 contestants gathered for 6 hours to see who literally laughs last. If they laugh, smile, or smirk, they're eliminated and prevented from dethroning Season 1 champion, the homie Blaine Gibson. The host of the show, Jeff Ramsey and Elise Willems. So that's super awesome. They have a new collection of surprises, but will there be enough to break the contestants? We'll have to find out. Last Laugh Season 2 debuts September 9th on Rooster Teeth, but you can catch up on all of Season 1 right now.
One.
Number two on the Roper Report, let's talk about a Lost Judgment review roundup. Yesterday, Bless, as you and Tam went live, reviews were starting to pop up. We didn't have a full read on the Metacritic, so here we are with the traditional thing now that some of the dust has settled. It's sitting at an 83 over on Metacritic. I believe, Blessing, I need your help on this one. I'm pretty sure Easy Allies gave it an 8, but I didn't write that in, but I'm pretty sure if you could go check that, or kindoffunny.com/you're wrong did it. But I remember Easy Allies, I believe, gave it an 8. Isla over there wrote, "Over the years, Sega has kept up a brisk pace with Yakuza and its spin-offs, releasing games that share a lot of the same DNA. However, despite the similarities between them, Lost Judgment still manages to stand out and make a strong case for itself by tightening up a lot of the weaker aspects of the first game. It introduces fun and addictive side activities, like the school stories, and seamlessly immerses you into a world, into its world. It may seem easy to write off, as just another Yakuza-type game at first glance, but once you start to walk this through the Yagami, you'll want to see this case through to the end."
Eight is correct.
Nailed it. Over at IGN, Tristan gave it a 7. "Despite its intriguing whodunit premise, Lost Judgment's main story fails to sustain its suspense all the way to the finish, and its detective methods remain only slightly less superficial than those of the previous game. However, its meaty undercover side stories set in and around this, the high school, kept me playing for hours and hours well after the main story credits had rolled. In doing so, revealing a lot of the fun surprises that I might have never found had the classroom cases not kept me on the hook. This Yakuza spinoff feels far from being considered case closed, but here's hoping that Sega can show some better judgment in the series future." Yeah, see what they did there? Because they don't judgment. And then, not one of the Metacritic scores, they don't give out scores, but Gene Park over the Washington Post fielded this review that for me is what sold me on actually starting Lost Judgment. And again, paraphrasing and jumping around a bit, but I have three graphs from it I like. In Lost Judgment, Nagoshi, who is the series creator, and his team of writers play to their strengths, creating compelling character drama with realistic motivations and trauma. The bullying angle and the ensuing social media rumor mill surrounding the tragedies in the game keep the story grounding. Nagoshi also said the story of Lost Judgment came after much, quote, heated debate among its writers. That would be no surprise. The conclusion of the overarching murder mystery isn't cut and dry, so much that Yagami's own friends will debate him on his decisions and principles. I won't spoil the twists, but having played every single Yakuza game and the prequel Judgment, RGG Studio has crafted its most grounded, realistic narrative to date. All the character motivations are believable and beg for empathy, even among the game's most villainous set. By the final chapter, all of the game's themes on bullying, social media misinformation, and the justice system tie together almost perfectly. I skip a whole bunch of the review to the final paragraph. Despite these flaws, Lost Judgment is the most captivating, dramatic, and transfixing story of the year, and that should come as no surprise to fans of RGG Studios' output. Video games can often struggle with long-form narratives that can feel natural to TV serials, but RGG Studio has been banging these out for more than a decade. Lost Judgment is their latest and their greatest work.
Oh,
Blessing,
wow.
I know you talked a bit about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. For somebody who missed it, recap where you're at with Lost Judgment.
So I'm a few chapters into it. I probably played about 6-ish, maybe 7 hours of Lost Judgment. I'm having a fantastic time with it. Usually for the Yakuza games, I'm kind of in and out. Like, I played maybe a similar amount of time into Like a Dragon last year when that came out.
Sure.
And I like that as well, but for me, it's really hard for me to stick around because I know the games can get long and then other things come by and I feel not as much desire to kind of stick through because other things just capture me more so than Yakuza and Judgment. Yeah. This one so far, I'm super into it just from both a story perspective and a gameplay perspective. It's really nice to be back to the beat 'em up style of these games because Yakuza Like a Dragon, of course, added the turn-based stuff, which was really cool and I know a lot of people loved. But jumping into Lost Judgment and being able to beat down on groups of enemies at a time.
Slam people down and your friends are throwing you stuff to beat people up with.
It's the action in this game is so ridiculous. I know that's a Yakuza stable before Like a Dragon, but you know it's still fresh to me because I'm just not as deep into this franchise as I know many fans are. A lot of the combat is speaking to me. The action in the cutscenes are speaking to me. The funny thing is, the thing that really brought me in originally to starting up Lost Judgment was watching Shang-Chi and like watching that movie and being like, man, I wish there was a Shang-Chi video game. I wish I could like get into a video game and like just beat up on fools. And then I remembered that I had Judgment downloaded and I was like, maybe I should just play Lost Judgment. I know that has a lot of like martial arts stuff and I can just beat up on fools in that game. And so I started it and it for sure satiated that. Like I was really pulled in like immediately by the action of it and like the choreography and the cutscenes and all that stuff. Really spoke to me in that way. And so I really enjoy the combat in this one. The story is really interesting and fascinating so far. Yesterday, I compared it a little bit to Persona because there is the school aspect to it, which, you know, as Yagami, you are hired as a private detective to work in the school to like in a high school to like suss out bullying and figure out what the bullying situation is and help solve it in the school. And then that of course grows into a bigger thing. And of course, like many detective mysteries, there's like a murder case and all the stuff that's going on as well in the background. And I mean, for me, I really enjoy a lot of different like detective murder, like TV shows.
Sure.
And so this game is actually really satisfying that like camp for me in terms of like, oh, there's a mystery. I'm engaged with the mystery. The character back and forth are awesome. I really dig the main character in this game. This is my—I didn't play Judgment 1, and so this is my introduction to Yagami.
So I want to jump into that, yeah, because if you remember, like, I reviewed a bunch of Yakuza's at IGN, kind of burned out on them. When Judgment came around, I liked the different thing. I liked the English voice track on it. So went and played that, started it, played into it a bit, then fell off of it, like you're saying. It's a longer game, got caught up in other reviews, yada, yada, yada. But then earlier this year, right before they announced the PlayStation 5 version, it turned out, I was like, man, I'm in the mood for a detective game, and came back around and sunk a lot more hours into Judgment. Didn't beat it, but played way more of it and still enjoyed it. My problem was, I feel like the game, and this happens with Yakuza too, I feel personally, is that eventually becomes kind of samey, where it is like the main narrative has great cutscenes and all this other stuff, but the rest of it is you running into an area, talk to somebody, run back out in the streets, beat the shit out of a bunch of people, run back in, tick, 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 and it just became that cycle of like, I feel like I'm doing this, so I'm gonna break here rather than get burned out by it. And so I enjoyed it, but didn't feel the need to complete it. For Lost Judgment, there was a chat. Well, first off, there's a you're wrong I want to get to. MS Gambo says, Brad Ellis wrote the Lost Judgment review for Easy Allies. Isla is the video editor on the review. My apologies. Brad wrote this the review we were talking about from Easy Allies. But for this one, as somebody who didn't play Judgment 1, there was a question here. I didn't play this. Will I be lost? Is there a recap? Do you need to know? Do you feel out of place with it?
I don't feel lost whatsoever. Like, there's not a lot of... I mean, there are references to Judgment 1, but usually if there's a direct reference, they'll do, like, a flash on the screen. Like, oh, man, I remember this character or whatever. But it's never anything that takes away from my experience of understanding the story. The story here feels... At the very least, the mystery here feels very, of this game, right? It's not carrying anything that happened or any threads that remained open from Judgment 1. And so, like, any of the references feel very much like you can ignore it and just enjoy it for what it is. And for me, like, once I beat this game, depending on where I'm at when I beat this game, you know, I might even want to go back to Judgment 1 just so I can get that story as well, because I think
is this one moving at a good clip? Is it do you feel like some of the stuff that was called out in one of the other, I think it was by Tristan, right? The detective stuff is pretty superficial. It's less superficial than it was before, but even in Judgment 1, I thought, like, okay, this isn't truly being a detective, but it's different. It's not
Yakuza. So one reviewer who I really like, Skill Up, did a review of Lost Judgment, and he actually didn't like it because of the detective stuff. He said that he mentioned in his review that the actual detective portions of the game doesn't feel as engaging. Like, you're not really doing real detective work. It's exactly what you described in terms of it being
move the camera around, find the thing.
The core gameplay is very Yakuza adjacent of, like, run to the next thing, read a bunch of text or watch a cutscene. All right, fight a bunch of dudes, back to cutscene, run to the next objective, fight some more. Oh, there's a detective thing, and it's a very guided, zoom in, find the thing that you're looking for, or, like, sneak through this area. And it for a detective game, or for a game with being a detective at the core of it, it isn't, like, you know, don't come to this game to solve mysteries is basically the thing, right? Okay. This isn't a Sherlock Holmes video game. This isn't even like a Forgotten City where you're doing detective work and all that stuff, right? This is an action game with detective carrying the story. And if that sounds fun to you, then I think that's going to be a good time. But the actual detective work stuff is minimal if that is what you're looking for out of it.
Like I said, I was going to pass it because I felt in the same way. I'm like, all right, I've played enough Yakuza in my lifetime. I was like, I think at this moment I've played enough Judgment, let alone the fact that I didn't finish the first one, right? But this thing, the final chapter, and again, this is Gene over at Washington Post. By the final chapter, all the game's themes on bullying, social media misinformation, and the justice system tie together almost perfectly. Gene's review got me really excited for him, so I will make time, I say, during paternity leave to try it.
And I'll also say this game is fulfilling the Sleeping Dogs size hole that I had in my heart. Because, like, you know, I didn't know what to expect in terms of, like, how much how much the game would feel like that game. Like, the chase sequences, the combat, like, the undercover nature of it, all of it harkens back to Sleeping Dogs in such a strong way that, yeah, like, this is definitely, if you like Sleeping Dogs back in the day, for sure check out Judgment, because it is a lot of that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you liked Mega Man back in the day, maybe you should play Monster Hunter Rise. This is number 3 on the Roper Report. Kevin, I have a link in there. Maybe that's what you're pulling around over there. Monster Hunter Rise introduced some new elements, like a canine companion to the series. Being a Monster Hunter game, it's also getting a steady stream of crossover events with other Capcom series, including... I'm sorry, this is Steve Watts, by the way, at GameSpot. Including an upcoming cosmetic swap for your Palamute that makes it look like Mega Man's Robo Dog Rush. The special event starts on September 24th. Completing the event will give you crafting materials to make the Rush skin. There is no end date listed, but if it's like other Monster Hunter crossover events, it will just remain in the game in perpetuity. The trailer for the Palamute event shows footage from Mega Man 11, the most recent game in the long-running action platforming series. Rush first appeared in the series in Mega Man 3, all the way back in 1990. The Robo Canine is a Swiss Army knife of a character, transforming into vehicles like a submarine or jetboard. In Monster Hunter Rise, he looks to stay in his regular dog form, albeit carrying around a massive blade in his jaws. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Monster Hunter Rise.
Did you play much Monster Hunter Rise?
I did not. It was one of those I had on my Switch for the longest time. And I was like, and anytime I would be like, Jen, should we play this? Because we loved World so much. She's like, well, if we were going to do it, why not just play World? I was like, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know what I mean? And then, like, Zach Ryan was super obsessed with it too. And he would be over and I'd be like, maybe. And I did. And it's just like, if I was going to do it, I knew I needed to be committed to it for longer than I was going to be committed to it. So I never did. No.
Yeah, I almost did. I've never historically been a Monster Hunter person, and I wanted this to be my Monster Hunter game, and Imran Khan almost got me into it. But
as he often does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, as he often does, but like I just didn't have the time.
Sure. Frog Knight Joshy G says, Rise greater than world in the Twitch chat. Frog Knight Joshy G, I'm going to need you to explain that to me.
I'll ban him.
No, it's not a ban thing. I'm not mad. I want to know why he thinks it's better. I want to know why
he thinks it's better. He's delusional. I can tell you right now, he's delusional. Wow. There's no way.
Okay. And then fourth and final on Europa Report for this Friday, Splitgate is going to get a Forge mode before Halo. This is Jared Moore over at IGN.com. 1047 Games says that its popular first-person portal-based shooter Splitgate will incorporate a take on Forge mode before Halo Infinite. In a response to a tweet from at KFC Gaming asking its community to, quote, trigger an entire gaming fan base with one sentence, the official Splitgate account responded by announcing, Splitgate will have a Forge mode before Halo Infinite. What do you got from you? I see you're going, what are you saying? Kevin, you got some answers from Frog Knight, Joshy G?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't know my mic is on. I was working on something else. Sorry.
You're such a clown. Originally released in Halo 3, Forge is a mode designed by Bungie that allows players to edit, customize, and share maps within the Halo community. Due to its popularity, Forge has been a regular addition of Halo games, with the mode being added to subsequent releases within the franchise. Last month, 343 announced that it was delaying the launch of campaign co-op and Forge within Halo Infinite until after launch, as it continued to focus on getting the single-player campaign and multiplayer done in time for its launch date. Forge is currently expected to release in Halo Infinite during its third season, with each season set to ship in a three-month window. 1047 Games' own announcement would likely mean that its mode for Splitgate will debut sometime before mid-2022. In a subsequent tweet in the thread, 1047 Games explained that its own mode for Splitgate likely wouldn't use the name Forge, but would still allow players to edit maps with the shooter. The developer explained how this might look in Splitgate by saying, quote, imagine placing portal pads anywhere you wanted on Olympus. Blessing, it's fun shade that then turned into real news. Because they did say, we're going to have it before Halo Infinite. We love you, Halo. Like, it wasn't like they were talking shit. They were like having fun with it, because clearly they're inspired by Halo.
I'm stuck on KFC Gaming. Why does that exist?
Well, you know, they announced their own little gaming console that one time. You ever see that thing?
I think that's something I saw and then immediately forgot about. I think I lumped that in with the Soulja Boy console and all these consoles where it's like, cool, everybody has a console. I'm going to make a console since it's so easy. KFC can make a console. Also, KFC Gaming's bio says, finger clicking good.
Get it? You get it? Kevin, I'm sending you the landing page for the KFC console. If you could throw it up there, that'd be great for me. Because if you haven't looked at it, it's something. Introducing the KFC console. Power your hunger. The KFC console has arrived, forged from the fires of the KFC ovens and built by Cooler Master from the ground up. There has never been a tastier way to experience the latest titles in stunning 4K, 240 frames per second. Then you scroll down. World's first built-in chicken chamber, Kevin. Never risk letting your chicken go cold again thanks to the patented chicken chamber. Utilizing the system's natural heat and airflow system, you can now focus on your gameplay and enjoy hot, crispy chicken between rounds. It's got a built-in cooler. Only the best is housing
this. It does look sleek. It does look sleek. I'll give it that.
You can't buy this, right?
Eventually you will be. Right? Isn't that the deal?
I mean, right? Not really. They're just being funny, right?
I'm pretty sure it's actually real. I'm going to Forbes.com where Eric. Is it like a Eric PC Kane console? Says, yeah, it's a PC. Five things you need to know about the KFC console. The KFC console, aka the KF console, is the fast food chicken company's latest clever PR stunt. And honestly, I think it's kind of amazing.
They had that dating sim that they made a while ago where I believe you could date the colonel or something like that.
Yeah,
that
of course.
Was really popular for like a week.
So yeah, number one, it's a real system, but don't expect many to be made. Yes, at some point there will be the opportunity to spend your hard-earned cash on the KFC console, or the KF console, I apologize. This may be a gag, but it's a practical gag. The KF console is real. Eventually, someday, gamers will be able to play games on it.
Good for Splitgate for finding their own Forge mode and seemingly like maintaining their community pretty well and like being out there killing it. Like I love Splitgate for the week or so that I played it. I keep wanting to go back to it. But like I can't like convince my friends to get back into Splitgate because there's so much to do right now. But like that's a good game that if you have a hunger for Halo, definitely jump into it because it'll help with that. But man, like that's cool that they have their own Forge mode that they're doing.
I have a hunger for not for Halo, but for chicken. And so I am tweeting right now at KFC Gaming. When can I buy this damn console? Tweet it. There you go. Now you go.
I really want some chicken.
Bless it.
Could we make Kevin, our own console if you wanted to?
Don't get me started. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a PC, right? And then you do whatever you want to it. We put the kind of funny logo on it. Or we make the PC is just the Kind of Funny logo.
Guys, we're gonna get sued. Like, you know that.
By who?
Like, we're gonna. I don't know.
Who's gonna sue us if we make it?
You never know. Someone's gonna sue us.
There's gonna be something broken in it.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's gonna happen. It's gonna short. You're gonna open it up. It's just a PlayStation 4.
All right. Kind of then Sony and the person that bought it is gonna sue us.
I can't wait to see who sues us for the Kind of Funny console, but that's so far away. If I wanted to know something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops. Where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Ooh, a garbage truck shaped CPU. Out today, Earth Marines on Xbox One, Tales of Iron on PS5, PS4, Xbox all around, Switch, and PC. Joran on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, Switch, and PC. Origami 2 on all the PlayStations, all the Xbox, and PC. Severed Steel on PC. Toem, a photo adventure on PlayStation 5, Switch, and PC. And our review is live on PS I Love You XOXOXO. Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom on Switch. Nexomon, PS5, PS4, all the PlayStations, all the Xbox, Switch. Absolove, End of Gods, all the Xboxes. Murder Diaries, Xbox One. Marble Parkour on Switch. Galactic Invasion on Switch. Love Colors on Switch and PC. And then Severed Steel is launching today on Steam, Epic Game Store, GOG, and other PC storefronts. New dates for you. Lego Star Wars Battles is launching September 24th exclusively on Apple Arcade. Bubble Bobble 4, The Baron's Workshop, will be launching on Steam September 30th. Sea of Thieves Season 4 starts September 23rd. And The Last Campfire is coming to Steam on October 7th. Deals of the day for you. Next week's free Epic Game Store freebie will be The Escapists. You can download it for free September 23rd all the way through September 30th.
Greg, last night I was watching the San Junipero episode of Black
You accidentally Mirror. Invited me to it.
I accidentally sent you the Netflix party link last night. But they were playing Bubble Bobble in that episode because it took place in the 80s. Bubble Bobble came out in like 86, I think. And so they were playing Bubble Bobble to start off that episode. Fun bit.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Charles Jacobson writes in and says, decided to spend KFGD looking into potential THQ games by checking their devs. Gothic 1 remake announced this year. Ashborn Games has announced a brand new strategy RPG. Nine Rocks Games was founded last year to create a survival sim. Pow Wow Entertainment has a 2021 project on their website. Appeal Studios is working on an open world action adventure game, Amalur DLC by Kaiko. And they also own Magicka, and the Guiana Sisters could potentially return. Oh boy, is this not going to be a showcase we actually put up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I'll tell you right now. Kebabs, who I called out earlier that would freak out when we said no more Ratchets for a while, writes in and says, if I were to give my honest take on Ratchet, another game in 5 years is the likely outcome with both Spidey 2 and Wolverine of the Works. The PS3 era taught us that you need to build up demand for a new Ratchet game rather than put out as many as possible. It's a very, very honest take from you, and I appreciate that. And then Big Bad Beluga writes in and says, also out today on Apple Arcade, Castlevania Grimoire of Souls. Blessing, it's Friday. That means we can drink on the show and have a great time, even if it's before noon. Remember, of course, this is a show that happens every weekday on YouTube and on Twitch and on the Rooster Teeth and on podcast services. And so that means we're done for the weekend, which means next week's hosts look like this. Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, Tim and Witta. Wednesday, Blessing and Andy. Thursday, it's a Tim Tam Thursday. Friday, Greg and Blessing reunite to close out your week.
Back at it.
Like a bad habit. If you're watching live on Twitch right now, ladies and gentlemen, Emily is away. We are continuing our playthrough. We will finish this game at some point. Who knows when, me and Tim. He will continue to screw things up. I have the whiteboards ready. If you want to watch that later, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. If you'd like to see me and Blessing continue to shoot the shit, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is where you can get that post show when it goes up with no ads, all the different stuff, get your name right on the show, yada, 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 yada. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great one. It's been a fun one. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.